Turn that on, please. Psalms 139. Yep. Now the words that I have to give you this morning are still on verses 7 through 12. And let me just read those in beginning. Psalm 139. Verse 7, where David writes, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? And whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy right hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even night shall be light unto me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." So I am once again talking about comfort in our sovereign God. And we are still looking at His omnipresence. Now let me say it again. And the reason I keep saying this over and over again is because even Peter's clear, we need repetition.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We need to be reminded. And usually things stick, at least mentally, okay? And that's even spiritually or otherwise, but still in our mental faculties, okay, and things stick when we hear them over and over and over and over again.
That's it.
If it were not for my notes, I probably could not tell you what I said last week. Because I just wouldn't remember it all. Other than certain little points that stuck out in my mind. But let me say it again. Remember, God is always with us. When I say with us, I'm talking about those whom He chose in Christ before the world began.
Yes, sir.
That's who I'm talking about this morning. God is always with us, according to the first part of verse 7, no matter where we go.
Yes. Amen.
But the last part of verse 7 lets us know that God is with us no matter what the manner in which we go. The first part indicates no matter where I go, okay, God's with me. But then the second part, He says, and whether shall I what? Flee. Now the word, it means to run away from. But the whole word is a conundrum because you can never run away from God.
Exactly.
That's the whole point. Whether shall I go? To flee from what? Thy presence. Now let me say, we can flee from the Word of God, His Scripture. We can flee from His commands. We may be, like Tim James says, get real, get honest. Not we might, we have. We have broken His commandments.
Yeah.
We do not always follow His way as commanded in the Scripture.
That's true.
And anytime we do, it's only because God worked in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure.
Amen.
So no matter where we go or the manner in which we go, God's with us. And according to verse 9, let me go to 8. No matter how, and I'm going to say it a little different way this time, but you can look at verse 8 there and read it. No matter how honorable my going is or dishonorable my going is. If I ascend up into heaven, Mason, that kind of to me seems like the high road, you know? If I'm doing the right thing, guess who's there? God's there. But then look what He says, if I make my bed. One's talking about action, right? Rising up into heaven, Lord, You're there, but if I make my bed. Well, it's almost a play of words. It is a play of words. To make a bed. Here he's not talking about making up a bed. He's talking about making my bed in hell. What does it say? Behold. You're there.
Amen.
You're there. Now, of course, David is not talking about going up to the third heaven any more than he's talking about going into the regions of the damned. We can't do that.
Exactly.
We're not allowed to do that. We know David is speaking here in metaphor. But the point is, again, as I will say it this way, no matter how far up we go or how far down we are, God is there.
Amen.
And then, verse 9 of 139, he says, no matter how strong I go or how far away I go, if I take the wings of the morning, the phrase there they say is an old Hebrewism of being refreshed. When you wake up in the morning and you're refreshed and you have this full refreshment of strength and you move off. And he says, if I take the wings of the morning and then dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. That's kind of like David. I went as far as I could go.
Yeah.
Guess what? God's there.
Amen.
God's there. And let me say this. I don't care what people, well, I do care, but I don't know that there's an actual real good phrase to use. People are going to accuse us of all sorts of ungodliness and unrighteousness when we declare the absolute sovereignty of God over everything.
Amen, that's right.
They go, you believe God's the author of sin. When did I say that? Now, if I hadn't said that, don't accuse me of that.
Yeah.
I've said plenty enough that's wrong for you to accuse me of.
Exactly.
Don't accuse me of things I haven't said. Well, but you said this, and it means that you're a fool.
Yeah.
You're a fool. Because I've never meant that. And I've never said anything trying to mean anything like that. God is not the author of sin. But let me tell you something. God Almighty determined what sin would be.
Amen.
His holy character simply by existing.
Right.
Anything opposite to that is what?
Sin.
A sin.
Exactly.
So in a sense, God was the one who determined what sin would be.
Yes, sir.
Did he not?
Oh, yeah.
Anybody said, well, but I don't know about all that stuff. That's your problem. You don't know God. You don't know yourself. You know all about Sunday school. You know all about soul winning. You know all about singing in the choir or listening to those who do. You can talk about all the great messages you've heard, the sermons. And I guess that word's okay, but it kind of gets on my nerves. You know, that was a nice sermon, Pastor. They never tell you what was nice about it. It was just always nice. That's a good sermon. They rarely say, I like when you said this. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, people, they know all these things, but they do not know the sovereign God of heaven and earth. And I mean, they don't know Him. They don't know Him. But as David then would kind of sum this up, look at it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and go as far as I can with it. Look at verse 10. He's summing it up. Even there. Now that's including all of this here.
Yes,
all
sir.
These three verses. Even there shall thy right hand, what's that say? Lead me. You see, wherever you go, if you're a child of God, God is leading you there.
Yes, sir.
Even there shall thy right hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me.
Amen.
You're not going to get out of that circumstance until God says it's time to go somewhere else.
Amen.
You and I will be right there just exactly as long as God Almighty has ordained for it to be. And whether it's the mountaintop or the valley, as they say, or in between. You know, I hear about people, oh, that's nice to be on the mountaintop. I kind of like this kind of move along the middle. You know what I mean? Because when you're on the mountain, and you know what I'm talking about, when you're on the mountaintop, and I know this is fleshly, I'm just trying to state to you the facts of sometimes what we are. When you're on the mountaintop, you're just waiting for the mountain to slide out from under you.
That's right. Amen.
You know? You're just waiting for something to give way. You're just waiting for the landslide to come. You know, we live where God Almighty determined for us to live at any given point in time.
Yes, sir.
No matter how far up, how much it is in the middle, or how far down it is. Yeah. And let's remember, it is God who led us there, and it's God who holds us there.
Amen. Exactly.
That's not what Walter's opinion is about it. That's what God says about it.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't it? In His Word. Now, last time I gave you the illustration of Joseph. And I should have gave you these other two. Well, you've heard them. I've mentioned them over and over again. But that's what I'm talking about. Repetition. Repetition. There is what I call this thing of where God takes you. Wherever you are, God took you there. And however long you stay there, or how briefly you stay there, is because God Almighty is keeping you there until it's time to move to the next circumstance or place.
Yes, sir.
But now sometimes God takes us to certain places through no specific fault of our own. We've seen that in Joseph, right? Sometimes people will give you trouble. They'll talk about you. They will try to harm you, especially verbally. Especially verbally. They will try to harm you, and it might come from within the family of God itself. These were Joseph's brethren who was going to kill him. And these were Joseph's brethren who would have sold him into slavery. They just didn't get the chance.
Exactly.
The Midianites showed up before they could sell him to the Ishmaelites, and the Ishmaelites sold him to the Midianites. Sometimes this trouble, this path, this place where God leads us and holds us, it's just like Job. Through no specific fault of our own. Now that's not to say we don't have faults. God hath not dealt with us according to our sins.
Oh, that's right. Yes, sir. Amen.
If He did, we'd all be in hell today. And we would not be breathing these breaths of mercy on this side of eternity.
Exactly.
So that's not the point when I say through no specific fault of our own. I'm not talking about being without sin. But just like Joseph, just like Job, and many other illustrations, sometimes God puts us through the ringer. The point is not whether it's a specific fault of our own. That's the whole point. David says, no matter where I go, in what manner I go, how I go, whether I'm just going or I'm running away, you're there.
Amen.
And you led me there, and you hold me there.
Amen.
I'm not interpreting this, am I? I'm preaching about this.
Exactly.
Granted, there's some metaphors, but they don't need interpreting. Just a little common sense will do.
Yeah.
Right? Just a little common sense will do with that. But what it takes is life from the Spirit of God to lay hold of it.
Yes, sir.
To relate to it. To believe God in it. And Ellen, to thank God for it.
Yeah. That's it.
To thank Him for it. Now, I don't know. Well, I do know this. I know that I'm not always thankful when it first began. And probably about midway through or further, I'm still not very thankful.
Yeah. Well.
But every place God takes His people has a beginning and an end.
Yes, sir.
And we're not all, none of us is in a life of constant misery and pain. Because if you are, you miss something.
Yeah.
You miss something. There's joy in Christ.
Yeah.
There's happiness in the family of God. There is peace and satisfaction and hope.
Yes, sir.
God's people don't live down here in the dust all their life.
Exactly.
And if that's where you live, you better re-examine what you think you are.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, God's people don't live up here all the time either. Yeah. Up here in La La Land.
Yeah.
Well, if you just believed God like I did, you wouldn't have this trouble. Don't be a stupid idiot. That's what Job's miserable comforters were trying to say to him.
Yeah.
Job, you're hiding something. God knows we don't. You're hiding something, and that's why this calamity's befell you. Maybe, maybe not.
Exactly.
Right? In Job's case, it was not.
Yeah.
But maybe, maybe not. But see, what the point I'm trying to say, no matter where we are, no matter in what way we go, God took us there, and God's holding us there until the appointed time.
Yes,
if we're one of His.
Yeah.
If we're one of His. Now, there's more I could say about even those who are not one of His, and we'll do that a little later. But right now, we're talking about those who are one of His. So you have these, what I call positive illustrations and negative illustrations. And then you have these other illustrations. And I've already mentioned them to you. I talked to you about Joseph. We know Joseph went all the way down into Egypt to be exactly where he was. And God Almighty had ordained every specific instance. He ordained Potiphar's wife.
Yes, sir.
You know, the whole kit and caboodle. But we also read about Jonah, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I've mentioned Jonah, but I want us to turn to Jonah, if you're following along. And just turn to the first chapter. Jonah is what I call a negative example of this. But when I say a positive and a negative, I don't mean a good and a bad. I mean a positive and a negative. Like a battery has a positive and a negative. You got to have both or it's no good.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
The negative and the positive ends of the battery are both good. Right? They must exist together.
Amen.
Or you don't have a battery.
That's right. That's it.
You got a magnet. And I guess it has positive and negative too. That don't fit, does it? That don't quite fit, does it? I want you to think about it. Here's Jonah. Now, and like I said, a lot of this is me going to be saying the same thing you've already heard me say over and over. But the point is, if you've listened to the gospel and you've been in the way of Jesus Christ for some way, you're basically saying everything Joe says, Walter says, I've heard somebody else say it. And when I heard them say it, maybe I didn't get it till that day when I heard that man say it. But you know, I remember, I know now, I used to hear that all the time. Still didn't get it.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we just keep saying it over and over and over again. Because it may not be that God wants you to get it today.
Exactly.
But if He gives you the get it tomorrow, you'll remember what He taught you today.
Yes, sir.
You have a brain that holds facts, right? And it may be that tomorrow He opens your eyes and He means to open your eyes toward this very truth. But when your eyes are open tomorrow, you may not remember a word I've said. But in His good time, the next day, or the next day, or the next day, somebody will come along and say the same thing I did, and you're going to get it.
Yep.
You'll get it. Now here's Jonah. What I was always taught, especially in Sunday school. And I'm not criticizing Sunday school for that. I'm criticizing Sunday school simply for being Sunday school.
Exactly.
It's its own criticism. Where does the Word of God teach that we split God's people up by age groups and thus teach them? God's ordained way. God's ordained way for people to learn the truth of God. Okay? Now, we know it takes the Spirit of God to give life.
Yes, sir.
But the ordained way is through the preaching and teaching of pastor teachers.
Amen.
Not men and women that you vote for and choose into some Sunday school room office.
Exactly.
It's not in God's book. People say, well, boy, our kids know a lot. They know a lot of facts. They don't know the God of glory.
Exactly.
Well, I was there. I knew a lot of facts. I didn't know the God of glory. Here, even in Sunday school, here's what I was told. Jonah ran away from God.
Yeah.
Now, okay, let's stop for a moment. Okay, let's say Jonah ran away from God, but what about David? David said, I couldn't.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Whither shall I go to flee? What's to flee?
Yeah.
To run, not just run, or he said run. To flee means to run away.
Yeah.
But if you read what it says, you'll find out it was only that Jonah tried or thought he was getting away from God.
It's exactly right.
Look at it. God had said to him, verse 2, arise, go. Two words. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. Now here's the point. Did he ever get there?
No.
No. Somebody said, well, Jonah did his will. No, Jonah didn't do nothing but God Almighty's absolute sovereign purpose. Now he did do his will, but he didn't get to accomplish his will.
Exactly.
His will was to do what? But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah thought, if I can just get there, God ain't there. Right? It's a heathen city anyway. You know? Probably not a lot of churches and Sunday schools there. Right? Choir. They don't have very many choir. I'll go to Tarshish. He didn't make it.
That's exactly right.
He said he went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof. And let me say something. Believe you me, anytime we disobey God's direct command, you're going to pay for it.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And you'll pay for it out of your pocket as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's just a fact. You will pay for it out of your pocket as well. We're not talking about being condemned for your sins. Joe mentioned it. We're talking about reaping what you sow.
Yeah.
And every one of us that's ever griped and complained and murmured about why we are where we are griping and murmuring against God.
Amen. That's it.
I'm not preaching down at you. I'm preaching to you. I've been right there with you.
Exactly.
Every time we complain against where we are, we're complaining against God. But you don't know where I've been. You don't know where I've been.
Exactly.
And let me guarantee you this. Neither you nor I have been to the depths that's any deeper than anybody else that God ever chose on the face of this earth.
Exactly.
Now, whether I've been there where you've been or not, that's not the point. Somebody has. Yeah. We're too far along in this thing for you to be the first one.
Exactly. Yeah.
Somebody had to be the first one, but bless God, it ain't us.
Exactly. That's it.
Right?
That's it.
It ain't us. We're not the first ones. And even Hebrews says that we got a great cloud of witnesses.
Yes, sir.
And that's both toward the positive and the negative.
Yes, sir.
So, moving along, he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the... Does it ever say Jonah fled from God's presence? No, but that's what he was trying to do.
Exactly.
But then think about this. Next phrase. But... Right? When you read that conjunction, but, it means this statement now is going to oppose the first one. Not as trying to prove it right or wrong, but it's an opposition to it. It's negative to it.
Yeah.
But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea.
Yes, sir.
Now, folks, don't you think he could have sent a great wind while they were sitting there at the dock? And it ripped the sails off that boat right then. Couldn't it? Now, if he could send it, well, I can send the great wind, but I got to at least wait till they get out yonder to do it. Now, that'd be stupid, wouldn't it? Why did God wait? God wasn't waiting. It just wasn't God's time yet.
Exactly.
And he's going to make it so that Jonah didn't just get thrown off on the dry land. He wasn't going to get thrown off on the dock.
That's right.
He's going to get thrown off into the water. A fish is going to eat him and then vomit him back up on dry land.
Yeah.
Thereby, Jonah says, you know what? I probably ought to go on down to Nineveh.
Exactly.
Huh? If they had just thrown him off the boat when the sails got messed up, he landed on the dock, what would he have done? Look for another boat.
That's right.
Right? But see, you're not going to get by God's sovereign purpose.
Exactly.
God does it so that it acts... Not act, but God does it so that it is accomplished according to the very glory He was pleased to gain from Himself for Himself before the foundation of the world.
Yes, sir.
And look, But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Now, Jonah here is writing and expressing these things in human language for us. We know that ship wasn't going to be broken, don't we? Because we know once you read the whole account, it was not God's intent to break that ship apart. But he made them men to know if this keeps up, it will.
Yeah, amen.
Exactly.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
If this keeps up, it will.
That's it.
Somebody said, well, something had to change. No, something had to happen. Nothing was changing here. Just something had to happen. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But then look at the phrasing, especially the phrase. But Jonah was, what does it say, gone down. If I make my bed in hell, right? The Jonah's gone down because Jonah is in disobedience to God. Now somebody said, but this is God's sovereign purpose. Be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful that you're not trying to blame God instead of yourself for your rebellion. God doesn't allow us that option. I don't care if you are doing the sovereign will of God. If you're in error, if you're in sin, it's your fault. It's my fault. We best not blame God. And Jonah never did.
That's right.
We'll see. He never did here. He never did blame. He didn't say, well, fellas, don't worry about this. This is the sovereign purpose of God.
Yeah.
Did he? Now, anybody who professes to believe God and wants to cry out and glorify God's sovereignty while they're laying in the lap of Satan and the world and sin, don't get it.
Yeah.
They don't get it.
Yeah.
But Jonah was what? Gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay. You see it?
Yeah.
He was asleep. He lay and was what? Fast asleep. God had said, arise, go.
Yeah.
He didn't.
Exactly.
Did he? Now he rose, but as soon as he got on that ship, what did he think? I'm on my way now. No Nineveh to worry about. No God to worry about. You say, how can a believer do that? Open your eyes to your own situations.
Yeah.
We do all the time,
yeah,
don't we?
Yeah.
We do all. But why did God let me do that? Because he's pleased to get himself some glory,
yeah,
in a certain way.
Yeah.
And he's going to let it happen this way. And you're going to learn a lesson, and he's going to get the glory, and that's going to be the way it is.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So, let's move on. Verse 6. So, the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. In other words, we need a whole big prayer meeting here, and we need everybody involved. Because the more we have, the more likely God is to act.
Yeah.
Men are still the same.
That's exactly it.
Aren't they?
Yes, sir.
They're still the same. What are you sleeping for? Get up and pray with us.
Yeah.
Right? And that's not being mean. There is nothing new under the sun.
Exactly.
When we fell in Adam thousands of years ago, we fell as far as we could go.
Exactly.
We're not getting worse. We're as bad as we can be. God simply restrains some of us from doing everything that's wicked.
Yeah.
But look at the next one. And they said every one to his fellow, come and let us roll the dice. That's why we put it today, wouldn't it? And they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. And I can see it now. Down at the First Baptist Church of Naugatuck, wherever it might be. Well, we don't want to start doing games like that, do we? We're not going to start casting lots or rolling dice. That's sinful. You remember they had that thing the Jews did, ordained of God, called Urim and Thummim?
Yes, sir.
And you know what? Those were two things, two objects, and they cast lots with it. These casting of lots varied from place to place, but you had certain objects that may be pebbles or stones or pieces of wood with certain markings on them that pointed to certain people or certain things. And you'd take them things, shake them up, and generally you'd hold out your garment and you throw it in your lap. Anybody's ever ring a bell for anybody? One of the prophets says the lot is cast into the lap. You roll the dice. Yeah. But it says the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. When a man goes to Las Vegas and rolls the dice, it comes upon the numbers that God Almighty ordained for them to come upon before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Amen. That's it. Even that. These were a bunch of unbelieving mariners from Joppa.
Yeah.
Right? And they said, well, let's cast lots. So they cast lots. And guess how lucky they were. What happened? The lot and the lot fell on Jonah.
That's right.
What a coincidence.
Amazing.
No, there is no coincidence, because you may cast the lot in your lap, but God's going to make the dice come up where He wants them to come up.
Yes, sir.
They're going to fulfill His sovereign purpose. But the problem about the lot, the casting of the lot, the problem about the rolling of dice is they're very general.
Yeah.
It pointed to Jonah, but it couldn't tell him anything about Jonah. Now look at it. And the lot fell on Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. They didn't know why the lot fell on Jonah, but they knew it fell on. Now give us an answer, old boy. It pointed to you. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he says, I'm a Hebrew and I worship Yahweh.
Yes, sir.
And when he said that, look at it. And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew. I fear Yahweh, the God of heaven, which hath made both the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? Now, here's what I want to point out. Did he say, well, you know, this is God's sovereign purpose, fellas. Don't worry about it. It'll be all right. Now, let me ask you something. Is that not true?
Yes, sir.
It is true. But when you're in rebellion against God, you have no right to decry against God.
Exactly.
No right. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What's the answer? Now, it says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That's a good thing, right? That's an absolutely necessary thing.
Exactly.
Because if God's grace could not supersede my sin, I'd have been a goner.
Exactly.
So where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. But then the answer Paul gets, he knows somebody's going to come along, like Tim James says, with that narcotic of antinomianism. Well, I might as well go ahead and sin then.
Yeah.
He says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What's the answer? God forbid.
God forbid.
How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer? Somebody said Jonah did. He did. How long do you figure this lasted? If you study from Joppa to Tarshish, it don't take that long.
Yeah.
You'll figure it out yourself. Well, I lived in sin and rebellion against the Lord for years. He was trying to call me to this or that, whatever it was. To the ministry or to the children's ministry or call me to salvation. I resisted the Lord. No, you didn't. You may have been resisting your emotions. You may have been resisting your own conscience.
Oh, yeah.
You may have been the resisting some call of some man trying to get you to repent. You may have resisted that, but ain't nobody ever resisted God Almighty.
Yeah.
Well, somebody says, well, I know it is because the Bible says those people in Acts, you resisted the Holy Ghost. Yeah, and it says two things about it. One, you always do.
Yeah.
Always do. And why was it you always do? He said, because you're uncircumcised in heart and ears. Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. Just like your daddies did, you do too. But see, once God circumcises your heart and ears, you won't resist. And when it comes to something like this, simply providence, God Almighty bringing about His sovereign purpose, you will not resist. Jonah was trying to resist God, and every time he turned around, What did he run into? God Almighty.
Exactly.
God Almighty, right? God Almighty.
Exactly.
Look, then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know, for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. Any sound-minded man, once you've prayed to your gods and it didn't help, once you cast your lot, or the lots were cast, and all of a sudden, guess what? It comes upon the right guy.
Yeah.
And you find out that this guy's telling you, chunk me overboard.
Yeah.
You'll be okay. Is that what they did? It says they rowed even the more hard. You're a fellow like we are. Come on, we'll get you in. We'll get you to shore. We'll make it! What did God? Did God determine for him to make it? Look at what it says. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land. But they could not. Why? Because God wasn't going to let them. It wasn't his purpose. But they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Well, it was just a sea. Now, who sent this?
Yeah, exactly.
But the Lord sent out a great wind. He could have calmed that wind at any moment and said, all right, fellas, turn him around. Send him back to Joppa. You're going to Nineveh. See, that wasn't the way God had purposed it. You know one reason why God hadn't purposed it so? For the honor and glory of Christ. Because Jonah, to be the one true sign, had to be in the belly of that whale for 3 days and three nights.
Amen.
That's why he was on that boat.
Yes, sir.
That's why he stayed on that boat until finally those men said, look, wherefore they cried unto the... Look at that. What's that? Where, how's it spelled now?
Yeah.
It ain't just God now. For they cried unto Jehovah. And said, we beseech thee, O Jehovah, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. And I want you to look at this next phrase. For thou, O Jehovah, hast done as it pleased thee.
Yeah.
Now we see people recognizing the sovereignty of God, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Now we see them recognizing the sovereignty of God. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her rage. I believe it was that quick.
Yes, sir.
But you know what? They were already in emotion. Now a ship takes a little while. You know what I mean? So they were rowing, Mason. Right? It wasn't working. They said, well, we better chunk him overboard. And when they chunked him overboard, that boat was still moving this way. Wasn't it? And that sea died. It calmed down. Do you think? They said, well, let's turn around and go back and get him. Huh? Would you have? I bet you they went toward Tarshish just as hard as they could go. Don't you think? Huh? But look. Now look. Here's another reason Jonah was on that boat. Then the men feared the Jehovah exceedingly, and offered sacrifice unto the Jehovah, and made vows. You see, Jonah was going to be on that boat because God was going to reveal himself to a bunch of old mariners.
Amen.
Does not the scripture say that God will use even the wrath of men to praise him?
Amen.
And the remainder of it, what's he going to do with that part? He'll restrain it.
Yeah. Exactly.
You see, in other words, if it happens, it's going to honor God. Somewhere, somehow, in some way, Joe, it will honor God.
Exactly.
As we will see in the latter part of this, of Psalms 139, if it means men and women and boys and girls, if it means them being cast into the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone, it will be to the honor and glory of God. Or if it be to them hearing, enter in, thou faithful servant. Well done. You know? Whichever one it is, it will be to the honor and the glory of God. And I got just a few more minutes. And I'll, Lord willing, pick up here next time. Now we've looked at what I call a positive example and a negative example, right? We've looked at an example where God took somebody somewhere, but God was right there with them the whole trip, and it was not their some specific fault of theirs that caused it to happen. That's Joseph, right?
Yeah.
But we also see Jonah. And Jonah was in the predicament he was in because he sinned.
Yes, sir.
Now Mason, had he went on to Nineveh, he wouldn't have went through this.
Exactly.
Right?
That's it.
But the whole point is, he did go through this. And as he went for this, there was never any excuse to Jonah for doing this. Never. He was never excused. But we still see God using even the sin of man to bring about his own sovereign, absolute purpose.
Amen.
Then look at that last, that verse 17 of Jonah 1. Now the Lord had prepared.
Yes, sir.
Even before that storm came up, God had done picked out him a fish. And that fish was making his way toward that boat.
Yeah.
That's what it says. Now the Lord had prepared. Huh? That fish was already making his way there. As a matter of fact, they say, and people say this was way, we don't know for sure what kind of sea creature this was. But even if it was a whale, and you've probably seen you maybe have, maybe you haven't, but the Discovery Channel shows trying to prove whether a whale can swallow a man. If God Almighty purposed for it to, it'll swallow one. I don't care if its throat's that big around.
Exactly.
I don't care, you know. And I'm not looking for a funny way to say, I'm saying if it was a whale, bless God, a whale swallowed it.
Yeah.
But let's say it was. Just for the sake of, let's say it was. You know what we've learned about most whales, don't you? They travel great distances, don't they? They don't just go hang out, David, in one little bay somewhere, like a bunch of sardines or some largemouth bass would up in a cove. These creatures, and any creature of the deep this big, they migrate.
Yes, sir.
They migrate. This one, his migration was changed for about 4 or 5 days at least. God said, you're going to go that way. There's a little boat over here flopping around in the breeze. And there's a man over there you're going to swallow. And you're going to take him right onto the shore. And you're going to puke him out right where I want him to be.
Yes, sir.
And in all of it, it ain't, well, God got glory in the end. No, God was getting glory through the whole thing.
Exactly.
Wasn't he?
Amen.
Here, right in the midst of Jonah's rebellion, a whole group of mariners did what?
Yes.
What's it say? They feared Jehovah exceedingly. They offered sacrifice and made vows. That's better than what most folk do.
That's exactly right.
It's certainly different than how they started out praying to their own gods.
Yeah.
Ain't it? So what are you saying? No, don't try to look for it. You've heard what I said already. Don't look for a summary. There is no summary. There is no invitation. I can see Jonah now. Now, before you guys throw me over, y'all probably ought to trust in God. Huh? Right? Wouldn't that be what an evangelist would do today?
Oh yeah.
Well, just for a minute, fellas, let's bow down and pray. And you give your heart to Jesus. You ever wondered why you feel like you're always in the water so much, rather than on the boat?
Yeah.
Because when you're off the boat, God can do the work in saving the sinner and have you out of the way.
Yeah.
You ever thought about that? Yeah, he'll put you on, just like he put you on the boat. But then, David, your job's done. He will throw you overboard, and he's going to do the work.
That's right.
You ever thought about that? There's all kinds of things here, other more than just this Nineveh thing.
Yeah.
As you look through all this, I mean, right down at the end, and Jonah's still like us, right down at the end, he's still sitting there bellyaching and complaining.
Yeah.
The things didn't go his way.
Yeah.
Right? And you see, the whole time you're bellyaching, you cannot truly enjoy the glory of God in Christ.
Exactly.
While you're bellyaching. You can't, and you won't.
Exactly.
I won't! Until we quit bellyaching and say, we are where we are by the absolute sovereign purpose of God. Whether it's because of something I've done directly or not.
Exactly. That's it.
I am where God put me. If we've sinned against God, what does the book tell us to do? confess.
Amen.
Confess. And I asked the question here a few Sundays ago, and everybody, well, she knew, you don't know, I try to trick people sometimes. And I said, the scripture says if we confess our sins, he's just and faithful to forgive us of our sins. Does that mean then I can just go out here and sin and just ask God to forgive me and he will? And everybody was quiet. Well, you know, yes it does.
Yeah,
it does. That's exactly what it means. Well, if we confess the sins we didn't really mean to commit, he'll forgive us of those sins. Every sin I've ever committed, I meant to commit in some way or another.
Exactly.
You see, my problem is me.
Yeah.
That's my problem.
Yeah. That's it.
You remember Job? Job's problem in the end, he acknowledged, my problem is what? Even though, Mason, there was no specific sin for which God brought these calamities on him, he still acknowledged, I have spoken things I should not have.
Exactly.
I bragged about me when what he should have been doing all along was brag about God.
Amen.
And that's what he confessed to, didn't he? And he didn't begin to confess to that and even understand it until God spoke up.
Yes, sir.
And that's usually the way we are. You see, the whole point is this. Don't try to figure out, well, what sin did I commit to get here? What one didn't you commit to get there?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're probably better off trying to figure out the ones you haven't done than the ones you have done. Yeah. It'd take less time.
Exactly.
And start with the first one. You know what the first one is? To love God with everything you are. And then once you realize you ain't got by that one, you might as well just stop. You're done.
Exactly.
No need to go on any further. Isn't that the greatest commandment?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
To love God with everything we are. We can't get by that one. It's not, don't try to figure out why I am where I am. Bow down to God where you are and thank Him for it.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what Job started out doing until he started listening to men.
Yeah.
Didn't he? Job started out, I receive good from the Lord, shall I not receive what else? Evil. Blessed is the Lord. The Lord gave. The Lord what? Taketh away. And that's what he said. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, the harder we struggle against that, the harder it hurts us. If we could just rest, if we could just rest. Believe Christ. Quit working. Quit trying to figure it out. Take it from God's hand. Lay down. And don't rest in the bow of the ship. Rest at Nineveh. Rest. He finally got to rest at Nineveh, didn't he?
Yeah.
But we're so blessed hard-headed, we get tired of the shade.
Oh, yeah.
Don't we? And then God brings a worm to eat the plant up that's giving us the shade.
Exactly.
Somebody said, well, when will it end? When you die. When are my faults and failures going to cease? When you awake in His likeness.
Amen.
Just get used to it.
Yep.
And if you want something more than that, you're wanting something more than what God Almighty's ordained for His people right now. And then the last person, yes, this is a part of what, the next person says, well, you're saying I can sin all I want. No, you sin as much as you want already.
Boy, yeah.
I do. You do. I heard a man say this one time, and he's right. I sin more than I want to.
Yeah.
And he's right. I sin more than I want to.
Oh, yeah.
But I know there's a part of me that when I sin, it wants to do every drop of it.
Yeah. Exactly.
But there's another part of me that's ashamed of it, that's embarrassed by it, that knows that it does dishonor my Lord.
Yes.
Sin is a crime against God. That's why Christ had to actually shed His blood and die under God's wrath and judgment to save us from it.
Amen.
That's how bad it is. Now, is that going to help you to quit sinning? Not in the lick of it. It's not going to help you to quit sinning. But it will help you to look to Christ.
Yes, sir.
It'll help you look to... How do I look to Him? If you don't know. I'm serious. If you don't know, I don't want to try to help you.
Yeah.
You know that? I don't want to try to help you. Well, how do I know when this is happening or that's happening? Everybody wants to give somebody an answer. When this feeling comes or that happens to you? Let me tell you something. When the apostle, or not the apostle, when Saul of Tarsus met Jesus of Nazareth on that road to Damascus, and God Almighty in the flesh crossed his path, he knew it. He didn't need anybody to explain to him if that was good enough. If that was a real experience. If you ever have a saving experience, you'll know it. If you doubt if you have, you haven't had one. You haven't had one. Father, I pray that as we part our separate ways, that you may stay our hearts and minds upon Christ. There are others, we pray to be with Mary and her husband and things that we're not for sure what's happened, but we know it will be to her good and your glory, she being in Christ. And we pray that you give her and others as well strength, Lord. And Lord, just help us. We're so prone to sin, so prone to fall, so prone to fail, so prone to raise our fists, puny little fists, against thee, our sovereign majesty. Lord, forgive us and lead us in thy right ways and hold us there. And teach us there. For I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.